Number 788. Just think number 788. One, two, and four. Numbers 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, to me thy faithless Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly thou forfeit all of your treasures, Jesus thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy home.
Would you make his kingdom find a place of consolation? Would Let's go to God in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, thanking you so much for another day of life, another day of living, another day, Lord, that you have gotten us up this morning, Father, clothing in our right mind to be able to come, Father, freely and be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for being the head of our lives, Father, to be the knowledge and the wisdom to direct us, Father, through this earthly realm, Father, that one day, Father, that if we do all we are told to do, Father, by your word, Father, we will find everlasting life in heaven. Father, we also take the time, Father, to ask you, Lord, for forgiveness, Lord, Father, our sins, all those things, Father, the known and unknown, Father, that we know that we are not perfect beings, Father, but that even in our trials, Father, that we may fail, Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy, Lord, that you are able to forgive us, Father, that we can continue to move on and move forward. Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that you will bless those, Father, who is mentioned that are sick and are bereaved, Father, that you will continue to comfort those who are struggling right now, Father, with things that are going on in this world. Father, we ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless and keep your ever-loving arms around our new converts today, Father, that you will guide them and direct them in the way that you would have them to go. Father, we thank you so much for the leadership of this congregation, Father, and we ask you to continue to bless them, Lord, and have them to hear you, God, that they will guide us in the way that you would have us to go as well. Lord, we ask at this time that you will bless Brother Ken, Father, that you bless him and you will give him a ready recollection of the words that you have given him, Lord. And if there's any in our audience today, Father, that your words guided through him will guide them closer to you. Lord, we know that this world is not our home, Father. We know that everything that we do here, Father, is to try to get ourselves closer and closer to you, Lord. We pray, God, that everything that we do, Father, is pleasing in your sight, Father. And those things that we fall short on, Lord, that you will continue to bless us and guide us and keep us safe. Lord, we ask for all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, number 364. The same number is 1, 2, and 4. Numbers 1, 2, and 4.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood.
I have ordered thee now. Before us, we have two sacrificial emblems that represents the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. Father, we are so grateful, so humble this morning for what you did for each and every soul, allowing your son to die on the cross at a time when we all was unworthy. We are so grateful and we are so humble to partake of this bread in his memory. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before their mighty throne, Father. This time, Lord, we're so humble and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he led, Father, all of his teachings and his examples and his miracles, Father, but ultimately his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father, become that perfect Lamb of God, Father, whose shed blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And Lord, as we're about to partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to focus our hearts and minds on the cross, Father, and on Christ Jesus, Father, on his most precious blood. And that in doing so, Father, we can partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. if anyone was incidentally overlooked while serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another biblical commandment from God, that is to lay by in store and be prepared to give back unto Him the first fruits of our labor. Let us bow and give thanks. Lord, we're grateful and humble for your kindness, your mercy, and your meekness, for all you've done for each and every precious soul day by day, enabling each and every human being to be able to do what they do, to go out and to take care of their families as well as themselves. We're grateful and thankful for all of the abilities that each humankind possess. We're grateful and thankful that we are able to prepare and to be able to give back unto you the first fruits of our labor. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Share of it and share of If you will, I'll have you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we'll read verses 23 through 26. The title of this lesson this morning will be It's Your Choice by Brother Ken Gatewood. That's Exodus 32, verses 23 through 26. For they said to me, Make us gods that we should go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has come of him. And I said to them, Whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Then Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, Whoever is in the Lord's side, come to me. And the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. Now, let's have our lesson by Brother Ken Gatewood.
Good morning. I was telling Marilyn this morning, was that last night? That was last night, I think. Everybody knows I have a few health issues, but I told her, I said, when I put my hands on both our shoulders, and I said, if I start to mess up, faint. And it'll draw all the attention to you. It's always a pleasure and an honor to stand here and talk about God's Word. It's my choice to stand here. It's my choice to be a tool for God. It's my choice to let you know the truth of God's Word. But the question is, this morning, what's your choice? What is your choice? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you yet for another opportunity to learn more about thy will. But dear Heavenly Father, as we go through these scriptures and look within this lesson and we see we need the change, we hope and pray that we all make the choice for you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Life is full of choices. What kind of friends do I want to be with? What kind of job we want to pursue? What kind of home we want to live in? What kind of car we want to have? Even when we're daydreaming, we sometimes go with choices that may be even out of our range, out of our reach, but we make it a choice in them. But there's one choice that could be a live or die decision. And that choice is to choose God and live forever in love and peace, or choose Satan and live forever in stress and pain. You see, God gives us a choice to obey or disobey. He gives us a choice to follow or ignore the purpose for which we were created. Far too many people miss the purpose of their life because of poor choices. The Bible says over and over and over again that God will not force us to do his will. Why did God give us choice? Because he wants us to choose him, to love him, and to want to obey him. So if you take this gift of freedom and choose God, our lives, according to his word, he will give us everlasting life. If everyone will turn to Exodus chapter 32, 26. Exodus chapter 32, 26. And I'll be staying in Exodus the rest of the sermon. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. How did this question come about? How did this particular question come about? Especially towards the children of Israel. How could this question happen? Well, let's see why it was there. So let's look back briefly to see why this question came about. In doing so, we may also look at our lives and see if we can ask ourselves the same question. Who is on the Lord's side? Because sometimes we think we're okay and we're not. And sometimes in the world, people may look at you and say, "What side are you really on? Are you the Christian that you say you are?" Well, I thought you were a Christian. So for a few minutes or so, I'd like to talk about the story of King Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron and the Israelites and our Father God. We all know the story of King Pharaoh, Moses and the Israelites. And if you don't know, maybe, like this rate she just stood up, our Christians, we encourage you to read Exodus to see how all this came together. We all know there were 10 plagues. If you like to read along with me in these 10 plagues, it'll be in Exodus chapter 7, 17 and 18. "Thus saith the Lord, in this shall thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and this shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall sink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. The next one, the plague of frogs. In Exodus chapter 8, 2 through 4. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into the bedchamber, and upon the bed, and into the house of the servant. And upon upon thy people, and into thy ovens, and into the kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon the people and thy servants. The third plague. Exodus chapter 8, 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, say, Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may bring lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and became lice in the man and in the beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. The fourth plague we find in Exodus chapter 8, verse 21. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon the servants, and upon thy people, and into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of the swarm of flies, and also around the ground whereon they are. The fifth plague we find in Exodus chapter 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, and there shall be grievous murrain. The sixth plague, the plague of bulls. And the Lord, and that's found in 9, 8, and 9 in Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take two handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall come small dust in all the land of Egypt. It shall be a bull breaking forth the blains upon man, upon beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. The seventh plague we find in Exodus chapter 9, 23 through 25. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran among the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingling with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became the nation. And all the hail smote throughout the land and of Egypt, and all was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree in the field. The eighth plague. Exodus chapter 10, verse 4 and 6. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into the coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and there shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remained unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor the fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth until this day. And he turned himself and went out to Pharaoh. Now let's look at the ninth darkness. Exodus 10:22. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. Now let's look at the number 10, the plague of death of the firstborn. Exodus chapter 11:4-5. And Moses said, Thou saith the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die from Pharaoh the sixth day upon his throne, even unto his firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. I don't want to talk about, focus on the plagues this morning, but on the response that was to the plagues, who told Moses and Aaron, how Pharaoh felt after each one, also wasn't affected in all this, and compare ourselves to these events. Then bring us to the question that was asked at the beginning. Are you on the Lord's side? But just quickly, by me reading all of those plagues, and you were in charge of something, how long would you last? How long would you tell somebody to go away? How long would you allow the people around you to suffer? But as we can see, Pharaoh did. But I want to really focus on one thing, and I'm going to give the quick version. Who was in charge? In chapter 7, verse 16, talking about the plague of blood, it starts out and says, the Lord said. In chapter 8, verse 1, talking about the frogs, the Lord said. In chapter 8, 16, talking about the lice, what did it say? The Lord said. And in chapter 8, verse 20, talking about the flies, it said, the Lord said. And in chapter 9, verse 1, talking about the livestock, it says, the Lord said. In chapter 9, verse 8, talking about the bulls, it says, the Lord said. And in chapter 9, 22, talking about the hail, it says what? The Lord said. And in chapter 10, verse 1, talking about the locusts, once again, the Lord said. In chapter 10, verse 21, it's talking about the darkness. What did it say? The Lord said. And in chapter 11, verse 1, talking about the death of the firstborn, it says, the Lord says. We see through these scriptures, if it was the Lord God that was in charge, he was instructing who? Moses and Aaron in what to do. Without our Lord God, they could not do nothing. In our lives today, as we go on through life, do we sit back and allow ourselves, allow the Lord God say, to guide us from day to day? We see these scriptures, it was the Lord that God was in charge. He was instructing Moses and Aaron what to do. Without our Lord God, they could not do nothing. But why did these things continue? Each time we read that the plagues hardened Pharaoh's heart, he was upset these plagues was going on. He had no control, because we looked at the verse Exodus in chapter 7, and it says 11 and 12, Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. And they also did in the manner with enchantments. For they cast down every man's rod, and they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Have you ever been playing? And you got a truck outside, and somebody else has got a truck, your friend. Mine's bigger than yours. Have you experienced that? Got a dial? Boy, she got a prettier dial than I got. Oh, let's get up into our old rage. Oh, look at that. She got a little car, and I got a big car. But you see what happened here. Each time that happened, when they decided to do something, Lord said, Aaron and Moses, the magicians, could not do anything. And you know what happened? Just like us. He grew mad each time because he had no control. He couldn't do anything with it. But where were the children of Israel? We find in Exodus chapter 9, verse 26, they were in Goshen, protected from all these plagues, but they still could see what was going on, and they knew the Lord God was in charge. But now let's bring this home. In closing, in our lives today, how many times have we blamed God for the confusion in them? How many times have we blamed God because he took a loved one? How many times have we blamed God when we're on top of the world and now the world is on top of you? You see, it's the hardening of our hearts that causes distress. So what do we do when we're in trouble? We need to remember James 1, 2, and 3. My brethren, count it all a joy when you fall into divers temptations. Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We find in Romans chapter 12 and 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulations, continue instant in prayer. In other words, don't give up. Continue to look up and keep your eyes focused on God. Because why? Because our Lord God said so. But still, there's an issue we also need to address. Looking into the other part of this question came about from Moses and asking who was on the Lord's side. And we turn to Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, look at that verse. Everybody, if you can, look at that verse, what it says. Exodus 32, 1. And when the people saw that who? Moses delayed to come down on the mount. I don't want to go any further because you see, they put Moses, man, in front of God. Everything that they saw performed in this was in this man. This is why I read these verses to point out is what the Lord said to do these things. In today's time, we put so much trust in man. Standing behind a pulpit, standing in a room preaching the Word of God, standing in a classroom teaching the Word. Greg, I'm going down that road. We feel sometimes if we don't have a preacher, we will die or we will lose our souls. But last time I checked in Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 14. It says this, and everybody turn to this, please. It says this, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't get me wrong. Yes, it would be good to have a minister. But let's not lose the sight of our mark and go in heaven. Let's continue to fight and study more in 2024. Let's sing more in 2024. Let us pray more in 2024. So let us work more in 2024. So let us save more souls and ours too in 2024. Today's lesson, I cut it short. But I want you to know, we need to know that we are on the Lord's side. We need to know that God said for us to read the Word of God. We need to know that God said to learn more about it so our lives will be in line with the Word of God. We need to know that in reading the Word of God, that we be able to share the message to someone else to save their soul. But so many times we get lost within the walls and don't want to spread it to our community. We need to change that, because sometimes sitting in here, we will lose our souls if we're not doing the work of God. The question is, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? You need to ask yourself that question every morning. I do. And the reason why I do, to make sure I'm trying my best to do God's word, to follow in his son's footsteps, to be worthy just this much, because none of us will ever be worthy of the things that our Christ had done for each and every one of us, to die on that cross, to shed his blood. But one thing he did do for us, by raising up and allowing us to come back to him. If you're not a Christian, you must hear Romans 10:17. You must believe John 8:24. You must repent, Luke 13:3-5. You must confess, Romans 10:9-10. Then you must be baptized, washing away all your sins and raising up a new creature, Mark 16:16. If you are a Christian and you have strayed away, make it right today. Make it right with God today. For today is the salvation, and tomorrow may be too late. This is the 31st. In so many hours, it will be 24. What's your goal in life? Most time we hear, I'm going to lose more weight. Most time we hear, I'm going to get a better job. most time we hear, single men, I'm going to find a wife. We set goals, but we need to start off with one goal first. First, I'm going to give my life to God. And when you do that, all the other things fall in line. That's how it works. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't get in the world thinking you are your own boss, doing your own thing. He will continue to put you in your place. And if you feel he has it, there is one day you cannot avoid the judgment day. So make your choice for God as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain drink is for you and me. Let us hasten to be free. There's a fountain from the source of heaven, and it is the song really dreams.
Joyfully there.